Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A little slight change this morning. We'll start with the case we've scheduled for number two, which is Jones versus Wallace.
May it please the court, my name is Brian Hagedorn, and I represent the petitioner appellant, Elijah Jones, Jr. The question before the court today is whether Mr. Jones is entitled to an evidentiary hearing to establish facts that, if true, show that he received ineffective assistance of counsel at trial in violation of his Sixth Amendment rights. The key fact to remember today, the key fact here, is that this case rested entirely on the credibility of the state's single witness, the alleged victim. That means that every detail is important. That means that every avenue of impeachment is significant. The trial judge did recognize this, and
are you saying there's different rules for this was a jury trial instead of a court trial?
No, Your Honor. I'm merely suggesting that when looking at a conviction and what it would take to create reasonable doubt, when the issue is credibility, that any impeachment that would reasonably reflect upon the credibility of the witness becomes particularly important when there's no other evidence bolstering the case besides the credibility of that witness. Again, the trial judge recognized this and pointed out the specific details as evidence of the witness's credibility. She pointed to, for example, the fact that Mr. Jones took a shower, that after the shower he allegedly came out and spoke with her naked, and that Fred, the security guard, came to the door, and also there was this telephone call. There were several other inconsistencies that were brought out regarding these things, including with Fred, whether he ever showed up at all, and whether the witness saw him, with whether even the alleged incident took place when Mr. Jones was naked or whether he was fully clothed. But particularly with regard to this telephone call, that avenue of impeachment was not brought out, and there was an inconsistency there, and that is that there were records that the trial counsel knew of, cell phone records showing that this call, in fact, never occurred.
What did she actually testify to about the phone call?
Your Honor, during the during trial, she testified that there was a telephone call. She did not specify whether it was on a cell phone or a landline during that call. She testified that Mr. Jones and talked. It was her mother that called Mr. Jones. Her mother talked to Mr. Jones, and there was some conflicting testimony with whether she talked to Mr. Jones or not based upon the preliminary hearing testimony. During her testimony or during her interview with the investigating officer, she testified that it did occur on a cell phone, that the call occurred on a cell phone. In fact, it was known that Mr. Jones did not have a landline, and his trial counsel should have researched that, should have had the facts available. In fact, the arrest detention report, which is in the appendix as well, when he was arrested, where it says home telephone number.
To be sure, you'd have to call her mother, wouldn't you?
I'm sorry, what was that, Your Honor?
I say to be sure, you'd have to call her mother, I would think.
That he,
whether she made this phone call or she didn't make it.
Yes, that could be explored in an evidentiary hearing, but the facts as they stand right now show that Mr. Jones didn't have a landline, and in fact his cell phone records don't show that any phone call occurred. Now, this lack of a phone call taking place, again, was not explored, and not doing this did prejudice Mr. Jones. First of all, again, recognizing that this case rested entirely on the credibility of that single witness, this does make a big deal when looked in the total context of the testimony. There were these other inconsistencies that were brought out, and the trial judge looked at the general consistency of the testimony and weighted against the other inconsistencies, and that weighting, that credibility determination, would likely have been changed or would have been enough to create reasonable doubt if, in fact, this avenue of impeachment was explored.
Mr. Jones did not testify.
That is correct, Your Honor. That is correct. Also, these telephone records are the only external piece of evidence that we have regarding what actually happened in that apartment as of right now. I mean, it's just a case of her credibility saying, here's what occurred. There was no physical evidence of the alleged assault. And so, imagining a situation during trial where she's confronted, you say this phone call occurred. Here is evidence that's showing, in fact, this phone call did not occur. Trial counsel should have asked that question. Now, maybe she would have changed her story and said it occurred on a landline. He would have easily had the evidence available showing that he didn't, that Mr. Jones did not have a landline. And there would have been a big hole in her story. And it's conceivable that the rest of her story may have fallen apart at that point. And again, this was relied upon by the court. And the court looked at these facts to say this witness is credible. One other issue I'd like to address that there was disagreement about in the briefs, and that is the correct standard here for an evidentiary hearing. We are again seeking an evidentiary hearing. The state argues that the more stringent standard in Section 2254E2B applies, but again, that standard only applies when the prisoner has failed to make a diligent effort to develop the factual record in the state court. Even the Eastern District of Wisconsin agreed here that he, in fact, has sought an evidentiary hearing at every level. And, in fact, the record is quite clear in his brief and his post-conviction motion, in his brief before the circuit court, before the Court of Appeals. He argued that no phone call occurred at all. It was not just an argument from the get-go that no cell phone call occurred. The argument was the cell phone records show no phone call occurred. And so Mr. Jones did diligently pursue this evidentiary hearing, and so the correct standard here is if there are facts alleged that would entitle him to relief. Again, the state argues, and I just want to emphasize this, that the issue of the landline was not brought up until the federal petition for habeas. But that was in part because the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, sua sponte, speculated that it was potentially a landline. That was never at issue before. That was never brought up before. And in fact, like I said, the arrest detention report shows that he had no landline when the witness was describing the apartment during trial. She didn't describe a telephone because, in fact, there was no telephone there. And so the contention all along was that there no phone call occurred. And I'd just like to reiterate that what an evidentiary hearing will show here is that, first of all, no phone call occurred, that trial counsel knew that the cell phone records demonstrated that and should have taken a reasonable investigation to show that no landline was there in order to be prepared for any potential testimony by the witness otherwise. And then, finally, trial counsel had no legitimate reason for not pursuing this avenue of impeachment. There was no conceivable strategic reason, no conceivable trial tactic for why he would refuse to bring this up.
Of course, the phone call, whether made or not, didn't have any substantive connection with the crime, alleged crime, that I can see. It just related to credibility, isn't it?
Well, it's correct, Your Honor, and it did not directly challenge whether the alleged assault occurred. But it does, I believe, create reasonable probability or create reasonable doubt in this situation upon the witness's credibility. And that does reflect upon whether the crime occurred. And I'll reserve.
How damaging would it be if she was wrong?
If she was wrong about the phone call? Well, again, Your Honor, we would argue that would have created a major hole in her story, and that piled with the other inconsistencies, that would have been enough to create reasonable doubt and here would undermine confidence in the outcome. And I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. Tripp.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Assistant Attorney General Kate Lloyd Tripp, representing the respondent. As a preliminary matter, it's the respondent's ultimate position that whether this is under E2 or under the pre-AEDPA standards for an evidentiary hearing, Mr. Jones has not shown that he's entitled to one. But he is correct that we still maintain that this should be analyzed under E2 because he failed to, when he made his post-conviction motion to the circuit court, he failed to do anything other than set forth the cell phone records and the, I believe it was a report from a police officer. He didn't mention anything about the impossibility of a landline. He didn't put forth an affidavit from his counsel stating that counsel was aware of this fact. He continues.
Of course, the landline wasn't involved until the Court of Appeal brought it up.
Well, correct,
that,
but
that
to show.
That was sort of a shot in the dark by the Court of Appeal.
Well, perhaps, but at trial, she testified merely that a telephone call had occurred. So submitting just cell phone records doesn't seem to be dispositive of that issue. But regardless, if he had diligently pursued this claim in the state courts and they did fail to give him a hearing under Williams, then the pre-AEDPA standard applies, which means that he needs to show that had the victim been impeached with these cell phone records, that there's a reasonable probability that the judge would have found him not guilty, which I think that that's just incredulous. This telephone call was immaterial. We're talking about a 13-year-old girl testifying at trial to what had occurred almost a year earlier in an apartment of her mom's boyfriend that she'd been in several times. Let's say the phone call didn't occur. She's remembering a phone call from a different time. That's possible. I just don't think that that undermines her credibility with regard to the assault in any way. So I think that he has failed under the pre-ADPA standard as well to gain an evidentiary hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? You have 1 minute, Mr. Hagman.
I would just like to respond, Your Honors, to 2 points, to the main point she made, and that is that the only thing that Mr. Jones did was attach the cell phone records. And she mentioned the report from the police officer. The report from the police officer, Officer Leinart, who was the investigating officer on the case, the witness testified, or the witness informed her, as I mentioned earlier, that the call did occur on a cell phone. And so by attaching both the cell phone records and that report, and then explicitly making the argument in his post-conviction brief that no phone call occurred, he was in fact asserting that. And he did also request an evidentiary hearing to further demonstrate that point. And I just, again, we request that the court remand and grant Mr. Jones an evidentiary hearing on his claim. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you were appointed in this case, were you not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you very much for taking the case and assisting the court. Thank you very much.